Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can always download the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store and carry us around all day on your phone, or you can go to the website and go to www.guardiantalkradio.com and click on the live stream button. Or you can just be old school like some of us and use that dial on your radio and go to 96.9. And then you will get Blank Canvas. We're always happy when you're here on Wednesday night. Tonight, we have a very special treat. Tonight, we have a great artist who has inspired many people, who has mentored many people, and who is considered one of the great icons of the Bahamian art world. I'm very pleased and honored to say good evening to Mr. Stan Burnside.
Good evening. I have to come here more often. Good evening, Bahamas.
Good evening. It's so great to have you. For the listeners that don't know, Mr. Burnside was the chairman of the National Art Gallery for 5 years, I believe. So we worked very closely together.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like a little family. I feel like
it was my honor to serve you.
Yeah. So it was. We haven't seen each other in a bit, and it's really nice to see you again and have you in the studio. So you're really here because you have a new show, which is at Bahamar at the current art gallery. But we're going to talk about that toward the end of the show. I really wanted to, whenever I have, I had Max Taylor on recently. Mm-hmm. I love to hear about the days that I don't remember. So mm-hmm. I would love to just ask you about how did you first find your passion? How did you decide that was what you wanted to do in that era to go off to university to study art? Because that wasn't a common path for many Bahamian men at that time. So what took you to that path?
Yeah, my route was very circuitous, is that the word? There are lots of detours and turns and hurdles on the road leading to my destiny as an artist, as a practicing professional artist. I was first attracted to art in my neighborhood on Fort Finn Castle. I was a little boy. I might have been maybe 3 or 4 years old.
Wow.
Along with my brother Jackson, who would have been 1 year younger than I was. So I must have been four, and maybe he might have been three. And there was a young man in the neighborhood, Fred McSweeney, who was the older brother or younger brother of the late Father Irvin McSweeney, who's mm-hmm. a very well-known Anglican priest. And Fred McSweeney was deaf, and he couldn't speak, and he couldn't really communicate. But I guess he was a savant. We didn't know in those days. He really was a genius with his hands.
Wow.
And he could do anything. My first memory is that he would take a stick and he would draw images in the dirt for Jackson and me.
Wow.
And he would literally amaze us with his skill. And we were just amazed. And I think that was the first time we ever really responded to the two-dimensional image. And that was the beginning of it. Then I can remember trying to draw a boat in perspective where you could look into the inside of the boat, and it was very difficult. You know, I could draw it
from the side.
From the side view, but I couldn't sort of create a realistic-looking image of the boat. And that was a nice challenge that I took upon myself, and eventually I was able to get it. So art gave me a lot of pleasure, and it challenged me, and I loved it.
And were there people around you who were encouraging that, or were they saying,
yeah,
"Oh, put that down"?
One thing about my parents, they were both very much appreciative of the arts and talent. And the one thing they wanted all of their children to do was to find out what their passion was and to follow it and to work hard.
That's smart.
Your passion, yeah. And I sort of took a long road for a long time because my father was a successful dentist,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I wanted to follow in his footsteps. So I always thought of myself as becoming a dentist eventually.
Yeah. Okay, I can't imagine you being a dentist.
I can't imagine myself as a dentist either. So, you know, I thought I would go off to school and study dentistry and come back and join my father's practice, you know. But along the road, I started to be exposed more and more to art
mm-hmm.
until eventually I had to make a decision. Was I going to really be miserable for the rest of my life as a dentist, or was I going to do what I loved? In spite of the... you know, the image of the starving artist that mm-hmm. was really prevalent at the time. You know,
I'm sure.
You can't make a living from, you know, just doing mm-hmm. art.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost so many artists because of that.
Sure. The Roll brothers, Edison Roll, James Roll.
Absolutely.
A lot of people from that period who, Homer, absolutely. Who started painting and then went on to do something else.
And they are all role models because the contribution that they made, mm-hmm. You know, you could never put a value on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember Homer Williams and his paintings and his inspiration. You mm-hmm. know, he would take you aside as a young artist and talk to you. And the Roll brothers were a big inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Brenton Max,
you
know, who were really the twin pillars of at least my foundation in mm-hmm. Art in the Bahamas, you know. And you had many others, Rolf Harris, who really, really contributed a lot to me, and so many others. Once you mm-hmm. start naming names,
you realize that
even though there weren't that many artists, every single one of them really made a tremendous mm-hmm. contribution
mm-hmm.
towards
very much so.
The development of the arts, you know, to get to the point where we have a National Art Gallery with you.
Yeah.
As the second Bahamian director, and we off the races. But in those days, art was still sort of a risky
business.
Risky business. But my father always said, if you do what you love, you know, you never lose. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that has, you know, been a true prophecy.
I mean, that's really forward thinking of him at the time, I think, to have encouraged that. Because like you said, I mean, even now parents tend to, when their children want to be artists, they're all a little bit like, no.
Yeah.
But in those times, that was really very broad-minded of him
to
find your passion. And that you and Jackson both went off to UPenn, right?
Yes, yes.
Together. I mean, that's a big commitment for both of you.
Yeah.
And for the family to support
you. Jackson's case was different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson was he could very easily have become a scientist
mm-hmm.
or a doctor or a mathematician
mm-hmm.
because he was very good in the sciences and math.
Mm-hmm.
And he also loved those areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never mm-hmm. loved those areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you think he followed you into being an artist? Was he just looking up at his big brother?
No, I think Jackson is one of those unique kind of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to say, I really grew up with a genius. You know, a genius is defined as someone who is gifted in both the arts and the sciences.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Leonardo da Vinci.
Da Vinci, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, classical image of a genius. And, you know, he was so good in both areas
mm-hmm.
that when he finished his undergraduate work, he had to decide what he wanted to do, you know, whether
mm-hmm.
he wanted to go into medicine or art. And then he found the marriage of the two in architecture.
Architecture,
yeah. And so that's how he went off. But he and I, as kindred spirits in fine arts,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a conversation that went from the early years, you know, making marks on our bedroom walls all the way to, you know, creating a collaborative art form called mm-hmm. Jammin.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think we had a closeness as far as being in the same firmament is concerned. Mm-hmm. And I do remember one of my earliest memories was, you know, we used to get model airplanes for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the same model airplanes one Christmas. And Jackson took out the instruction paper and read the instructions and fit everything according to the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, you know, threw the instructions away and I say, well, this is a wing, you know, you attach it here, you know, this is a tail, you attach it here. And, of course, my my plane at the end of the day couldn't fly, you know.
But it might have been very beautiful.
It was beautiful. And Jackson always said that he loved the freedom that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave himself that same freedom. You know, mm-hmm. he had an understanding of the, you know, the science of everything. But he also had the ability to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Fly free, you know, to be able to release his spirit in his art. And so.
But that must have been something exciting for you both to go off to college together and.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's such a close story. We were almost like twins. We were a year apart. Mm. And the first time we traveled, I think I was 8 and he was 7, and we traveled to New York by ourselves.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, these two young boys on Pan Am flight going to New York, all dressed up in suits with short pants.
Of course, because we all dressed up to fly back in the day.
Yeah. In those days, yeah, yeah. And you know, we spent quite a few summers going to New York for summer camp,
mm-hmm.
and going to Family Island visits and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jackson was always a part of me. Even when we spent years apart, you know, we always had that connection. And I always felt like he wasn't going anywhere, you know. And so, you know, a real huge part of me was lost when we lost him, you know.
Yeah.
But I can still feel his spirit in a lot of things that we did.
I'm
together,
sure.
A lot
I'm
of
sure.
things that we achieved together. You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
It must be difficult. I can't imagine. I mean, I have a sister and a brother, but it sounds like you had a really very special, a bond that went beyond just being siblings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think there's certain siblings that sort of almost like twins,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and Jackson and I were like that. Frankie Wilson and his brother Stanley were
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law, Paul McQueenie, and his real twin, Peter, were like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... William Thompson, Archdeacon...
Mm-hmm.
Willie Thompson,
yeah.
Yeah, and Bishop Gilbert Thompson, you know. And, you know, being in the same firmament, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know, I think when you're in the same... have the same passion that
absolutely.
Gives you a bond that's even
absolutely,
tighter.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to go to a short break. I'm here speaking with the great Stan Burnside, who recently opened a show of new paintings at The Current at Bahamar. The show is called Conversations with My Father, so I'm sure there's going to be some interesting stories about your dad in there, as well as about your brother. And we'll talk more about that in the last segment. We're going to go to a short break now and come back and hear a little bit more about Stan's journey to really where he is today. I thank you so much for listening. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.